Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for another Sunday morning. We thank you every time we gather, you speak to us. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. The Bible says, unto the Lord shall the gathering of his people be. And so we know you're here this morning, and we ask, O God, for a mighty, mighty, mighty visitation. We pray, Lord, that you will speak into our lives. We pray, Lord, that you would change some things that have refused to change. And we pray, Lord, that you will plant some new things in their place and bless us. Open our eyes, O God, to behold wondrous things out of your law. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Amen. Right. Now, you're all welcome to the service this morning. Amen. And we're continuing to share the Word of God every Sunday. And this week we've been, as a tradition in our church, we start every year with fasting and prayer. Amen. We set some time aside to fast and prayer. Fasting is a good Christian practice. It strengthens you. It puts you more in tune with God and takes you out of the flesh a little bit. Amen. Plus, you get to lose weight. Then it's a good time to lose weight. Amen. Coincides with our New Year resolutions. So that works also. Amen. But more importantly, fasting allows us to set ourselves apart and to wait on the Lord as we enter a new year. Amen? This is a new year, and there's a reason why it's called a new year, because it's not the same as last year. Hallelujah. While you may be familiar with 2014, 2015 is a totally different year. It's a new year. We're going through some bends and some curves and going through places that we've never been before. We're going to see days we've never seen before. And it's important that, you know, we get some guidance. When you're going to a place you've never been before, it helps to have some guidance. That is the whole essence of a GPS. Hallelujah. So setting some time aside at the beginning of the year to fast and pray is like turning your GPS on. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, some people have a GPS, but it's off. And it does not help much when you have a GPS that is off. You need one that is on. Hallelujah. And so we're taking a couple of weeks, the first few weeks of the year, to turn it on, to turn on our sense of direction, our ability to hear from God, our ability to receive direction from God, our ability to follow God and to recognize his voice as distinct from other voices that we hear. Because in life you will hear many voices. Hallelujah. There are many voices apart from the voice of God and the voice of the devil and demons. There are voices, sometimes even voices of your fears. You know, sometimes you don't even know you're doing something because deep down somewhere you are afraid, you know. And so your fear is guiding you, your insecurity is guiding you, and your uncertainty about the future is what is guiding you to take certain steps which may seem right to you. The Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that road leads to destruction. Hallelujah. So it's important that we trust God and believe in a higher and a greater power that is able to help us navigate the course of a new year with success. Amen. Amen. And that's why we're fasting and praying. And so I really want to encourage all of you to be part of it. By all means, you know, take some time, set some time aside, you know, sacrifice your lunch or your breakfast or both, or the dinner as well. As much as you want to sacrifice, amen. But more importantly, you must spend the time in prayer. There's a difference between fasting and starving. Starving, both of them, you abstain from food. But fasting has a purpose. Amen. Whereas starving can have so many reasons, including your wife is upset with you. Hallelujah. So we want not to starve. We're not trying to starve. We're not trying to abstain from food so we look weak and miserable and dry in our faces. But we want to set time aside, especially to wait on the Lord, to pray, take time to pray. Amen. And so please do that this week also, and God is going to bless you. Now, while we're doing that, we are studying the subject of humility. Amen. We're studying the subject of humility. This is our year of serving the Lord. And as we serve the Lord, humility is one of the key things we're going to need to develop. Service goes with humility. Amen. If you're going to be a good servant of God, one of the key qualities you're going to have to develop is humility. Amen. And so we have a wonderful book here. Can you bring the books, please, Pastor Charles? Just help me with those books, you know, and pass them around. Give everyone a complimentary copy from me to you today. Okay. And this is a special book written by our dear pastor and bishop, Bishop Dagg. And I know that this book is going to bless your life. Amen. Right. So today I'm going to be sharing with you. We're reading this book, and as you get inspired from different parts of it and different things, you let that guide your prayer and your times with the Lord. Amen. All right. So I'm just going to share with you briefly today from the first chapter, 7 reasons why you should humble yourself. Amen. You should humble yourself. 7 reasons why you should humble yourself. Amen. Now, humility is one of those things that you lose the moment you claim to have it. Hallelujah. You usually have it until you announce it. As soon as you announce it, you no longer have it. Hallelujah. And we have many different notions of what humility is. Some people feel that if you walk chest out, it means you're proud. If you walk upright, it means you're proud. You know, though they may be symptoms of pride. Being proud is not the same as being confident. Hallelujah. We're talking about a disposition of the heart in relation especially to God. Amen. A humble person is someone who recognizes that life does not end with himself. That it's not all just about him, but that there is a greater power to which you submit yourself. Amen. That greater power decides everything. Amen. That is what humility is. Amen. And so we, number one, you can just follow through with me and let's go through the book. Amen. Number one, humble yourself because God resists the proud. So the first reason why you're going to have to work on humility this year is because God resists proud people. Amen. Now, James chapter 4 and verse 6. James chapter 4 and verse 6. According to James chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, "He giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." Amen. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble, according to James chapter 4 and verse 6. Amen. So God resists proud people. God fights against proud people. You know, the best example of resistance I can give you is when you were a child, probably. You know, I remember when I was a kid, and sometimes my older brothers, or I had some uncles who would visit us and stay with us sometimes for a little bit. And when they would get into a room and they didn't want you to come into the room, they would get into the room and they would hold the doorknob like that. And then you, as a little kid behind on the other side, trying to come into the same room, will be making the effort to turn the doorknob. Wow. But what it is that they were stronger than we were. The kids were weaker than the older ones. And so the older one would hold the doorknob like that, and the kid would try to turn it. And as you're turning it to the left, he's turning it to the right. Do you see? And so the little effort you're making is actually being neutralized by a greater power. Do you see what I'm saying? As you're turning to the left, he's doing the exact opposite of what you're trying to do. See, if you see the way doorknobs work, they on both sides, they have to turn the same way, isn't it? So they both have to turn in the same direction in order for the door to open. But when you have someone standing behind that door, turning the doorknob to the right when you are trying to turn it to the left to open it, in other words, the person is closing it as you're trying to open it. The person is keeping it closed while you're trying to open it. That is the best example of God resisting the proud. Hallelujah. But God resists proud people. You cannot afford to be proud, because God will resist your efforts. As you try to open doors unto yourself, as you try to make headway in life, as you try to sort of get ahead and try to make things work out, you will find a greater power than your efforts neutralizing every step that you take to do anything for yourself, just because you are proud. Hallelujah. And so you see that every effort you make is neutralized. Sometimes you see in life that everything you try to do doesn't seem to work. It doesn't seem to work out. And the answer sometimes is that God himself is the one resisting you. Now that's different from the devil resisting you. When the devil is resisting you, you can bind him. You can pray about it. But when God is the one pushing against you, you can't pray about it. Hallelujah. Because the one who answers the prayer is himself the one who has kept the door closed. Hallelujah. Amen. So it is important for you to humble yourself, because God resists proud people. Amen. God resists proud people. And when God resists you, you really don't stand a chance. You know, sometimes when it's a human being resisting you, you stand a chance. You just have to bring a greater human being, someone who has more power, someone who has more influence, someone who can move more things, and suddenly things begin to work in your favor. But when God is the one behind things not working out, when God is the one who's kept the door shut, when God is the one pushing against the door as you're trying to push it open, you do not stand a chance. Hallelujah. And so I want to encourage you to be humble this year. Amen. It says, pride is so contrary to God that he has declared war on all who are proud. When you become proud, God will become your enemy and oppose you in what you do. People who have become proud often do not realize that God has begun to oppose them. Some Christians rebuke the devil because they think Satan is the one fighting them. But where it concerns proud Christians, the devil can go on holiday, because God himself takes over and opposes the proud. Hallelujah. And so I pray that you will humble yourself. Amen. Humble yourself. You see, in James chapter 4 and verse 10, just fast forward to verse 10, the Bible says, therefore, humble yourselves in the sight God, and he shall lift you up. Amen. Humble yourself in the sight of God. That means by God's standards. See, sometimes the humility we profess to have is by human standards. Human beings have all sorts of false gauges for a person's pride or humility, for that matter. Like I said, when you walk just chest out, some human beings think you are proud. You know, sometimes tall people especially are accused of being proud. Yeah. Do you see? And so many other things. Sometimes we equate poverty with humility. But you wait till you see a poor and proud person. That combination doesn't work at all. It's like a bomb. I mean, you meet someone, the person doesn't have anything, and yet they are so proud, and you just look around them, and you can't even find what exactly is this pride sitting on. Wow. You can't even name a cause. You can't name a reason why this person is so proud, and yet they are so proud. So humility is not the same as poverty. Amen. If you're poor, it doesn't mean you're humble. You see, just poverty just has a way of shutting you up. Do you see? And that is what people sometimes mistake for humility, because you don't seem to talk much. But you're not talking a whole lot because you're poor, because you don't have much in your pocket. And that has kept you quiet about, or sometimes it even has you thinking. You are thinking a lot. You're thinking about what to do, how to make ends meet, what to do next, etc. And that can give you the appearance of a lowly person, you know. But it is the circumstance that has put you in that situation. It is by no means a reflection of what is in a person's heart. Hallelujah. Putting your hands behind you is not the same as humility. You see, yeah, putting your hands behind you is not as humility. Saying excuse me or please and thank you are not the same as humility. That's just politeness, you know, and politeness is not the same as humility. Hallelujah. So the Bible says we must humble ourselves in the sight of God. The way God sees humility is what you and I must go after. We must go after the humility that is approved by God himself. What God calls humility, not what other flawed humans define as humility. Hallelujah. Humble yourself in the sight of God, and the Bible promises that he will lift you up. Amen. God will lift you up. If you bring yourself down, God will take you up. If you take yourself up, God will have to bring you down. Everyone is entitled to one going down and one going up. If you choose the going down, God has to choose the going up. But if you choose the staying up, then God is left with no choice but to bring you down. Hallelujah. So tell your neighbor, humble yourself in the sight of God. Amen. Right. Number two reason why you must humble yourself this year is because God gives grace to humble people. Okay? God gives grace to humble people. And from the same verse 6, James chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, he giveth more grace. Giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Hallelujah. Says God gives more grace. That means the grace you have is not all you will ever have. Amen. It is not all you can have. It is not all that God intends for you to have. Hallelujah. It is the grace on your plate at this point, but that's not all the grace there is left that you can have. Hallelujah. Sometimes when you are eating with a family, you are served an amount of food. But what you see on your plate does not mean that is all you can eat. There is much more food somewhere else. But a certain measure of it has been served on your plate at this point. Do you see what I'm saying? But you start eating that and you'll be surprised that there's room for seconds and thirds and fourths. And, you know, some people go all the way up to sevenths. But, I mean, as much as you want to eat is available. But we can't put everything, or we simply haven't put everything on your plate at this point. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So the Bible says there is more grace in store for you. And grace is the help of God. Grace is the favor of God. Grace is the supernatural element that envelops your life, or that descends upon your life and causes you to work and walk in strength that you otherwise could not come up with, come up or bring up from your own efforts. Hallelujah. And the Bible says God gives more grace. But then he goes on to define who gets it. And he says, because of that, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Amen. He gives grace to the humble. Helps humble people. God will help you if you're humble. I tell you, and when God is helping you, no man can resist you. Hallelujah. When God is helping you, you know, when a kid cannot do something and an adult stands up to help that kid, you know, you're trying to reach a door you can't reach, you know, because kids are short. And sometimes they're trying to reach a door they can't reach, or they're trying to reach a shelf they can't reach. Sometimes there's a toy that belongs to you, but it's been placed beyond your reach. Because not everything that belongs to your life will be found within your reach. There are some things that belong to you, but they're just not where you can reach them. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And that's true. I mean, it's true for kids as it is true for children of God. It is not everything that has your name on it that is within your reach. Some of the things that have your name on it are actually not within your reach. Let me show you a verse. Luke chapter 16 and verse 12. The Bible says this verse. Luke chapter 16 and verse 12. The Bible says, and if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, shall give thee that which is your own. Now look at this verse carefully. This verse is saying that there are some things that are your own, but which have to be given to you. If it has to be given to you, then it's not with you. Isn't it? If it has to be given to you, then it's not with you. And so the Bible says, who shall give you that which is your own? So there are some things that belong to your life. There are some things that belong to your marriage. There are some things that belong to you. They belong to your life. They belong to your season. They are just not with you. They are not in your reach. It exists in your name, you know, but it is just within your reach. Hallelujah. So you need a higher person. You need a big person. You need a taller person. You need someone with more reach to be able to access those things that belong to you. I mean, when toys have been put away from and hidden from kids or put on shelves and so on, it's not because the daddy wants to play with them. You will never see a daddy cuddling a doll. Do you understand? They put it away, but it belongs to you. You are supposed to play with that doll. It's for your life. It's for you. Hallelujah. I tell you, there are some blessings that God has in store for you. They belong to you. They belong to your life. God does not need peace. God does not need joy. Hallelujah. God does not need healing because he's not sick. God does not need financial breakthroughs because the streets of heaven are made of gold. You understand? That is how I know that no thief is going to heaven. Because if you admit thieves into heaven, you will create problems. We're going to have, just overnight, there'll be potholes everywhere. Because human beings are good at digging gold. Human beings will go down 1 mile to find gold. So you bet if it's just on the street, they'll dig it out. So God is not bringing any thieves to heaven. Hallelujah. But God does not need any cash. God does not need any money. And if you think about it, God is everywhere. What currency are you going to give him? Amen. So God does not need money. If God has money, it is for his children. If God has peace, it is for his children. If God has blessings, it is for his children. There are so many things that in your life, but they are simply sometimes just not within your reach. Hallelujah. That is when you need help. So grace is like that little step that you bring that will just augment your height a little bit. Grace is that little. Great. This is a good example of grace. Grace looks like this. So you have an assignment. You have to pick up something that is over here. But you can't reach here. Your natural stature does not give you access to this place. So here comes God with grace. Grace is that little thing that just steps up. You know, you just add that to your natural stature. And suddenly, you become tall enough to be able to reach places and people and stuff that your natural disposition does not allow you to reach.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, the Bible says the more humble you are, the taller this one gets.
Wow.
Hallelujah. The more humble you are, the taller this one gets. As you grow up in proud, in pride, this thing just continues to get smaller and smaller. Pride increases, your grace decreases. The more you believe in yourself, the less help from God you attract. Hallelujah. Your grace decreases with the increases in your pride. That is why you need to watch yourself and watch your pride. You need to watch your self-confidence and your belief in yourself. You need to watch that carefully. Because that thing is going to cut down on the grace of God at work in your life. But I tell you that as you humble yourself, God is going to put a step, a platform, something you can step on that is going to give you a reach you out. Wouldn't have. Hallelujah. It will place things in your hands that you otherwise wouldn't have. It will make things available to you which were otherwise not available. Things that are not available to you. Things that are not available to your kind. Things that are not available to people with your education. Things that have not been available to people with your contacts and connections. God is going to place those things within your reach because you have humbled yourself and he has exalted you. Can I have an amen? He giveth grace unto the humble. Say amen.
Amen.
Right. Number three reason why you need to humble yourself this year is that you will be lifted up to the next level in life. You will be lifted up to the next level in life if you humble yourself. Amen. It says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. Amen. So one of the reasons why we need to humble ourselves is for promotion. God will promote you. When you go down, God will lift you up. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6 is a similar verse. It says, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Amen. Now this verse adds an important element to exaltation. And that is the element of time. Due time. Due time just means the right time. Hallelujah. See, sometimes to pursue something out of its time can make it look like you pursued the wrong thing. See, when you have the right thing, even at the wrong time, when you have the right thing, but at the wrong time, the right thing can look like the wrong thing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah, that's why they don't let kids drive before they're a certain age. It's not because driving is wrong. It's not because they were never meant to drive. But if you let a kid drive prematurely, do you understand? That will actually be the worst thing happen to him. Something that could have been a great blessing to his life suddenly becomes the worst thing that happened to him. That's why kids don't have babies. Do you understand? Yeah, that's why kids don't have babies. Although baby girls are born with wombs. But they are supposed to be used at the right time. See, it's not just having something. But things have to be used at the right time. When you take the right thing and you use it at the right time, you now introduce so many problems that suddenly make you reject and resent even the right thing. You're going to take the right thing and throw it away because of the pain that thing has caused you. And yet it's not the thing. The enemy is not the thing. The enemy is your timing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So the Bible says God will exalt you in due time. When you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, it will not always mean instant exaltation. It will not always mean instant promotion. Now, that is where you're going to find yourself perhaps grumbling. And you're going to say to yourself, but they said that if I humble myself before the Lord, he will lift me up. I've humbled myself for 2 years, and I don't see any lifting up. I don't see any promotion. I feel like I've been foolish. I feel like I've been stupid. Because humility can make you feel foolish sometimes. As a matter of fact, humility belongs to the same family of words as humiliation. Yeah. So many times where you see humility, you also see humiliation. You see embarrassing situations. You see a certain lowliness. You see a certain, embarrassment sometimes just because you are being humble. Hallelujah. And when you are in that circumstance, you naturally want to get out of it. And sometimes you're waiting for God's exaltation and it doesn't appear to be coming. You're waiting and waiting and it doesn't appear to be coming. And sometimes when you're waiting for God's help and you don't feel like God's help is coming through anytime soon, then you feel like helping yourself. That's when you find the verse that says heaven helps those who help themselves, which is not a verse in the Bible. It's probably on the cover of the Bible. You never find it inside. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So many people try to help themselves because they feel like God has failed them. They feel like God has not come through for them, or God has not come through in the time that they want him to come through. But you need to be a true believer in God. And you need to believe that his ways are higher than your ways. You need to believe that God's thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You need to believe that God is smarter than you will ever be, even if you live to be a million years. God has always been smarter. Where is your star that you have made? Where is your moon that you have put in place? If you have not made a sun, if you don't have a private sun, you believe in one who makes the sun. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If you can't make your own rain, then start believing in one who can make it rain and one who can make it not rain. I tell you, when God says it's not raining, it's not raining and it's not raining. I mean, if you can create a little shower in your bathroom, it's not the same as rain. Hallelujah. It's not the same as rain. The fact that the shower is not turned on throughout your house itself shows your limitation. It's a small part of your house, small, and then one little spot has a shower turned on. But God causes it to rain sometimes across the whole country. See that the weather is in a certain way because God is in charge. Hallelujah. So as long as you don't know how to make your own rain, as long as you don't have your own sun, believe in one who causes the sun to rise and who gives it a time and at another time says you can now set. And sometimes you see as the sun is going down, you see the moon coming up and you see this beautiful thing, synergy created between the sun and the moon, and you never see the two of them working at the same time. It's amazing what we call nature. Sometimes what we call nature is our refusal to acknowledge who is behind it all, and that is God himself. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So it is important. God will exalt you. He will do it in due season. When God does it, you will know the time is right. The Bible says he makes all things beautiful in his time. God will make it beautiful. God will make everything beautiful in his time. Just because you do the right thing doesn't mean everything is going to work out at the same time. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You see, let me show you this verse in the book of Psalms. Psalm number 1. The Bible says, blessed is the man. Real quick, please. Psalm 1. It says, blessed is the man who does not walk in... blessed is the man. Is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, your blessings begin when you stop walking in the counsel of ungodly people. People who don't like God. People who don't serve God. Your blessings. So you start being blessed right from the time you stop walking in the counsel of the ungodly. And from the time you stop standing in the way of sinners or sitting in the seat of the scornful. Then verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of God. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And then verse 3 says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. You see, so even doing the right thing does not change your seasons. You understand? You need to do the right thing, but when you do the right thing, after that, you need to sit back and expect God to come through for you when your season is in. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So you see that God started calling the man blessed from the time he stopped walking in the counsel of the ungodly, from the time he stopped standing in the way of sinners, from the time he stopped sitting in the seat of the scornful. God said, this guy is a blessed person. But he said that he is going to be like a tree that brings forth fruit in his season. So perhaps some things may not show up in your life immediately, only because it's not your season, but not because you haven't qualified for it. Do you understand? Sometimes you have qualified for it, but the season is not right. Hallelujah. You have qualified for it, but the season is not right. I mean, many of you have umbrellas you are not using today. Why didn't you come to church with your umbrella? Since you paid for it already. Because your right to use the umbrella comes with buying it. So once you've paid for it, it is now yours to use. But it's not just that it is yours. You need to wait for its season. Are you getting it? So the reason why you don't have your umbrella today is not because you have not qualified to use it. Because the qualification for its use comes with buying it. Once you've paid for it, it is your umbrella and you can use it. But now you need to wait for its season. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage. Not to be discouraged. Hallelujah. Not to be discouraged when it looks like some things are being held back, when it looks like your life is being delayed, or it looks like some breakthroughs or some blessings or some prayers have not been answered as quickly as you thought they would be answered. You feel like you've done the right thing, but you have not seen what was promised. The Bible says God will exalt you in due season. In due season. In due season, God is going to exalt you. Hallelujah. God will exalt you in due season. Hallelujah. All that needs to happen is for some clouds to show up and some drizzles and some showers to begin. And everyone will get to see this umbrella. Everyone will get to know that, you know, we're not the same. All along you were blessed. All along the two of us were not the same, because I don't have an umbrella, but you have one. Do you understand? And it is the season that makes a difference. Once you enter a certain season of your life, you're going to see certain blessings that you qualified for a long time ago. You're going to see certain blessings now begin to show up because you qualified for those blessings a long time ago. You were just not in that season. God is going to exalt you in due season. Say amen. And then one more before we close this afternoon. Humble yourself so that you will be covered and protected. Humble yourself before the Lord so you will be covered and protected. Amen. So you will be covered and protected. Now, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. That verse says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject to one another and be clothed with humility. Amen. It says, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So humility is a spiritual covering. Humility is described as clothing in this place. It is a covering. Hallelujah. It is a covering. Humility will cover you. Humility is not just an attitude. Humility is not just a poor and simple way of living. Humility is not the art of looking timid and defeated. Humility is actually a spiritual cloak that covers you. It protects the Christian from many unseen and spiritually disastrous evils. Hallelujah. Put on humility and you will be covered and delivered and protected from many evils in life. That's something you and I may not see. That perhaps one of the reasons why pride destroys people is because pride exposes them. Hallelujah. All naked people get a lot of attention. Is it not true? Yeah. If you like, just go outside and just take off your clothes and look around. See, everybody will be looking at you. When a person is without humility, he or she is like a naked person in the streets. In the realm of the spirit, you are naked. Physically, you look clothed. But in the realm of the spirit, you are naked. And when you are naked in the realm of the spirit, you attract a lot of unwanted spiritual attention. A lot of demons, a lot of evil spirits, and a lot of spiritual, negative spiritual entities, you know, are attracted to your spiritual nakedness. Exactly. People like to look at naked people. That's why a lot of pornography fills the internet. Because when people take off their clothes, everyone is looking. And some people intentionally, you know, clothe themselves in a scanty way because they want attention. Do you understand? Yeah. But once you put on your suit like this and you're dressed up all the way up, nobody wants to look at you. As you just pass, you're just another person. You're just another person. Do you understand? You're just another person. But if you start to take off your clothes, everybody starts to look at you. And some will even follow you because you're naked. And they start to follow you and start to walk behind you just to see if they can get to see a bit more. You know, and they'll be following you and following you. Now imagine that those people were demons. And you will understand that when a Christian is walking around without the cloak of humility, they are an attraction to evil spirits. They are an attraction to spirits, different kinds of evil spirits that come to your life to attack you and to affect you, to influence your life in many different ways. Hallelujah. So humble yourself. Amen. Put on the clothing of humility. Put on the cloak of humility and let that cover you up. Amen. Let that cover you up. Once you start being humble, you're putting on your clothes. Amen. Just remember, once you start being humble, you are putting on your clothes. And you are going to escape many evils just because in the realm of the spirit, you are humble. Amen. Right. Now, I see there are two more. Let me just give those two to you. I think it's two or three more. Humble yourself because pride is a signal for your soon to come destruction, your fall, and your shame. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble spirit. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 23. Isn't it? It says, a man's pride shall do what? Bring him low. A man's pride shall do what? Bring him low. I see you being delivered from pride in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It says, a man's pride will bring him low. So some people come down because of their pride. Then it says, Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You know, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. Look at all these powerful verses. Are you following them?
Oh, yeah.
Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 2. It says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. That's verse 16 and 18. Proverbs 16, 18. And then 11 and 2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. That means if you were standing at the stoplight and the first car came to a halt and it's called pride, the next car is called shame. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Or destruction. It says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. So you show me a proud person and I can show you someone who to go down soon. I can show you someone who is going to experience destruction. Someone who is going to experience shame. Only because pride has gone ahead person. Hallelujah. So watch out for pride. Pride is a signal. It signals a coming fall, a coming catastrophe, and a coming evil. Humbling yourself will remove the looming dangers from your life. Satan is greatly attracted to self-exaltation and overconfident utterances. They are an open door unto him. Pride is a spiritual signal that assembles demons of shame, destructions, and defeat. Your pride is like a trumpet that gives a sure and definite call to evil spirits. Hallelujah. When you are proud, angels are not called in to help you. When you're proud, demons are assembled to destroy you. You are actually more accessible to demons because your spiritual clothing and covering are removed. Then number six, humble yourself in the sight of God because pride is essentially satanic and demonic. Hallelujah. And then number seven, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord because your pride will make you an abomination. Amen. Your pride will make you an abomination unto the Lord. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 5, the Bible says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Amen.
Amen.
Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. That means even though he has many connections, it won't be easy for him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination unto the Lord. I pray this afternoon that God will remove pride from far, from near us. Hallelujah. And take it far away from us. God will take us from pride to humility. That God will make each of us humble in our hearts so that we can attract his grace, so that we can attract his help, so we can attract his blessing. Hallelujah. I want to be one of those people whose lives attract your help. I want to be one of those people whose efforts are complemented by your help. I want to be one of those that you rush to help. One of those people to whose aid you come quickly. I want to be one of those people. I want you to help me. To help my life as a student. My life as a businessman. My life as a wife, as a husband. My life as a single mother. My life as a single parent. My life today is before whatever I am and whoever you are. No one is above God's grace. Everyone can be helped greatly by God's grace. It will make a big difference in your life. And I want to give you the opportunity to pray for that grace today. Excuse me. Just pray for that grace today. And say to the Lord, please help me. Oh God, please help me. Help me. Help me in my line of work. Help me as an employee. Help me as an employer. Help me as a student. Help me, oh God. I bring myself down, 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 down before you. I humble myself to you, before you, and I ask, oh God, that you will lift me up. You will exalt me. You will help me in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your help in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, while every eye is closed, I want to give you an opportunity. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, I want to humble myself by giving my life to Jesus, by acknowledging that I'm a sinner and that Jesus died for my sins, that I cannot save myself. I cannot be good enough to save myself. That Jesus died for me. Jesus can be Lord over your life. He can be invited to come into your life to wash away your sins and to make you a child of God. It takes humility. One of the first signs of humility is your ability to recognize that you cannot be good by yourself. That on your own, you can never be good enough to meet God's standards. Only God can bring us to Him. And God has made that provision through Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. So I want to invite you to pray that prayer with me this afternoon before we close. And if you're here and that is your prayer, just join me as we say this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth, God raised you from the dead. Say, Lord Jesus, only you can save me. It is your blood that washes a person and makes him clean. I know that I can never be good enough on my own. That is why I call on you, Jesus. I call on you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Let your blood wash me. And let your blood cleanse me. And make me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord and bless His holy name. Amen.